Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee, and I'm really glad you came by to talk with us or to listen to us. Lots of news in the past couple weeks about Ebola. Very scary, very controversial. When I started researching, I found lots of good information, and I'd start getting all excited that I had something that's really beneficial to share. And then I'd get to another site and get some more controversy. So I want to talk about it because I think some of the things that they're talking about are true, blue, and good advice. It's obvious to me, though, that they are stumped and that there's, like most bacteria, germs, illnesses, it gets confusing. And they think they have it, and they've studied several people, and maybe they've even commandeered a hospital where there's many cases of something, and they evaluate, but it all comes down to the same thing that we talk about on this show all the time, is we're all so different. It manifests itself differently. It's contracted differently. There's a lot of stuff, but simple things that I was able to find out that seem to ring true in every article I read, I want to share because it's scary. It's really scary. So let's bring in Shell. Good morning, honey. How are you?
Good morning, Rainey. I'm doing real well, sweetheart. How are you doing?
I'm good. Actually, every day this week, there's been something on the early morning shows about Ebola. And, of course, we have a man who flew from Nigeria, I believe it was. I could be wrong about where he flew from, but ended up in the Dulles Airport and was hospitalized and let go because they thought he had a flu or a bug or something. And he ended up, according to one of the articles I read, even vomiting outdoors in front of an apartment building or something. Now, I don't know how that was learned or anything, but that's what I read in a couple different of the different articles that I read. He is now in Dallas Hospital. And the biggest thing that I've been able to find out that rings true in every case is the temperature. And but there's lots of talk because this one man, because he was on an airplane, number one, we talk about airplanes and spreading bacteria all the time. And I'm more than one airplane. And then he was in the hospital and not treated as in the hospital, probably in an emergency room. I don't know when the last time was any of you were in an emergency room, but the emergency room in itself is scary. Sometimes there's people in the hallway. Sometimes they're so busy that I've seen myself where everything doesn't get changed on a bed. All those kind of things. I mean, and I've watched people walk in and out of rooms not knowing what's wrong with somebody with no gloves on, no mask on, no anything on, because we've just never had a scare like this to this extreme. I also looked at pictures of Ebola after it really takes hold, and it's awful, awful, awful. And they believe it generated from animals in Nigeria. So some of the articles I read, I'm going to go back to, but I'd like, Shelley didn't get a heads up on this. I was going to talk about something else today that I knew she would be in line with, and I didn't even have to share with her because we were going to talk about detox again. But then I got bombarded by all this stuff, and people put stuff on Facebook, and every time I turned on the news or even if I changed the channel, it was about Ebola. So I thought it was time that we shared some of the information that we can get that we believe rings true, because it's the most dominant information out there. Shel, do you know anything? Have you paid any attention to all these stories about Ebola?
No, the only story I've heard recently was something that my niece shared with me because it upset her so much, is that there was a family traveling in Florida, you know, up in, I don't know if it was the, I guess it was the Turnpike, and you know how they have all the rest stops on the, it was either the Turnpike or the 95, but they have the rest stops, you know, when you're going hundreds of miles, and they stopped at one of the rest stops. The two kids were hungry, and I think they were like 7 and 8, and they got them turkey burgers instead of regular hamburgers because the mom thought it was a healthier choice, and in very short order, they both got sick. Neither one of the parents got sick. And the little girl died within 24 hours, and the little boy was barely holding on, and then she didn't hear anything more about it. She said some of the posts that were put up had been taken down, which she didn't understand, so she didn't know if family members took it down or what. But, you know, she said it was a heart-wrenching story, and, you know, here, because they stopped at a rest stop for a quick snack, they had already lost one child, and they didn't know if the other child was going to survive, and then she couldn't find anything more on the situation because she forgot to take their names down. So Dawn was, like, really upset about that for a couple of days. And we were actually taking a trip up north, and, you know, every time we stopped at a rest stop, we were like, it made her think of it, you know. But my understanding of Ebola is that it is an animal-borne disease. It is from animal feces contaminating the flesh when the animals are, this is what I understood it was from. When you look at the practices of a lot of slaughterhouses, they don't slaughter properly. They allow sick animal flesh or feces from the animal once it's been slaughtered to get on the flesh that is then being ground up or dissected to be shipped out to the grocery stores, and that's where the Ebola bacteria comes from. It's from improperly slaughtered and packaged meat products. I've never heard of Ebola coming from any other source other than meat products or vegetation, like products that were grown with fertilizer that was contaminated with Ebola. So it still goes back to the, you know, animal fertilizer that was contaminated with Ebola, and then that fertilizer was used for the plant product. So I've never heard of it outside of an animal product. And, if you know, if there's any news that there's another source of Ebola, that it was always foodborne animal product, and that's what I've always understood it to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really pretty interesting how long it's been around. A virus with a high fatality rate that was first identified in Africa in 1976. Now, that's a long time ago for something like this to be around, and for it to never really take hold and do the things that it's doing right now. So they've narrowed down kind of the host. Is a fruit bat, they think, but they're not saying absolutely positively, but they're still saying it's unknown. But the researchers that are working with it all the time believe that most likely it's fruit bats, and of course that would mean a bat bites an animal, you eat the animal, or even, I don't know if you're in an arena around fruit bats, because I don't know where their home is, maybe Africa. I mean, there's plenty of bats in the United States, but I don't know that they're called fruit bats. Anyway, weakness, fever, aches, diarrhea, vomiting, and stomach pain. Additional experiences include rash, red eyes, chest pain, throat soreness, difficulty breathing or swallowing, and bleeding externally and internally. And some of the pictures I saw were horrific. And so now we have this guy who was a taxi cab driver. And he flew here for whatever reasons, and now he is quarantined in a hospital in Dallas. But as of 2014, September 23rd, 2014, in Guinea, there have been 1,074 cases with 648 deaths. So you're talking about better than 50%. In Liberia, 3,458 cases with 1,830 deaths. Again, better, well, just about at 50% that one would be. Nigeria, 20 cases, 8 deaths. Senegal, 1 case and no deaths. Sierra Leone, 2,021 cases and 605 deaths, which is like a third. But the CDC made its initial announcement after the outbreak in Guinea. The reports of cases in Liberia and Sierra Leone. In Guinea, a total of 86 suspected cases, including 59 deaths. Case fatality ratio is 68.5%. It's been, that was reported by March of 2014. I think they go down through here until whenever something has taken place that made a change from all through August, this is all 2014, into September. The final two, though, I think, is what we need to concentrate on. In September 16th, 2014, President Barack Obama calls the efforts to combat the Ebola outbreak centered in West Africa the largest international response in the history of the CDC. Speaking from the CDC headquarters in Atlanta, Obama adds that faced with this outbreak, the world is looking to the United States to lead in international efforts to combat the virus. He says the United States is ready to take on the leadership role. Now, on the 30th, which is, 14 days later, Dr. Thomas Frieden, director of the CDC, announces the first diagnosed case of Ebola in the United States. The person has been hospitalized and isolated in the Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas, Texas, since September 28th. Now, what you don't hear here or read here is something I shared a few minutes ago. Prior to him being quarantined, they let him go, and he walked around. And now they're according to input he could give them, and in some cases, surveillance in the hospital, he came in contact with more than a dozen people. So the biggest thing that they're warning about is a fever, a relentless fever. And they sound like flu-like symptoms, don't they, to you? I mean, headache, fever, sore throat, nausea.
It is basically a flu. Flus are viruses. Mm-hmm. It's just a very intensive flu. So yeah, the symptoms are going to be the same. It's just that because it's a stronger, it's a more virulent flu, it just does more to the body.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, and
now, Ebola. If Ebola is all right, so I'm thinking of isn't Ebola the bacteria that was found in all those hamburgers that those kids died from? Or am I thinking, or is that something else?
No, I think you're thinking of E. coli, aren't you?
Yes, I am thinking of E. coli.
Uh-huh.
I am thinking
mm-hmm.
of E. coli. And
they are similar words, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. When you said Ebola, I'm thinking of E. coli. Yeah, Ebola is a different virus, and it is kind of, mm-hmm. That's right, because you keep saying this is the first the first case in the United States, and I'm going, no, it's not. We've had E. coli in the United States, restaurants, there's always foodborne and all that. Okay.
Well,
yeah,
E. coli is often generated by people who put chicken next to beef and stuff like that, or even when I did food health classes to be certified to work in kitchens and stuff like that. I've taken them a couple different times, and things always change a little bit with knowledge. But even if you cut, say you dice up some chicken with your favorite knife in your kitchen, and obviously you have a cutting board, and you have the knife, and you have the chicken, and you have your own hands. All of those things are like, you know, hosts. They're like an airplane ride to the destination. Then you wash your hands with water. You stand in the kitchen. Now, I cook all the time, so I will tell you. You stand there and you rinse off your hands because you can feel that they're sticky. You seldom use soap because you're still touching food. I'm just being honest, okay? You wipe off your hands with water. You dry your hands. And now you pick up ground beef. And you've rinsed off the cutting board. And you've rinsed off your knife. Maybe. More than likely you have. Now you prepare some more food. Now this is where a lot of the E. coli spread was, because chickens were considered to be hosts of E. coli. And then we even had trouble with eggs. Remember there for a long time? Everybody was warned against putting a raw egg in a milkshake or...
No, that's not... Okay, so you and I are both confused this morning. That's salmonella.
Okay. Salmonella, that's right. E. coli's from the beef. But that's where I was going with the cross-contamination. Right.
What I said at the beginning of the show, because I thought I was talking about E. coli when you said Ebola. Mm-hmm. I apologize to everybody.
It's
so what
Ebola.
I said at the beginning,
Ebola.
It was E. coli. Mm-hmm. It is from the beef. It's from contaminated slaughtering practices. It can affect fruits and vegetables because sometimes that contaminated meat now gets into the contaminated stools from that cow now gets into fertilizers and things like that. So that's how that can spread, okay?
Which one was it that infected our spinach for so long there a few years ago? Remember?
It was the E. coli bacterium, but they found out that it was contaminated fertilizer.
Right.
And that was
right.
It doesn't grow on plants. It's an animal-born bacteria. So that's the other thing that was confusing me, because this is called a virus. Ebola is a virus, but E. coli is a bacteria. So, all right, well, at least now that we've had this, so if anybody else was confused now, they kind of became enlightened with you and me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ebola
speaking of cross-contamination, it does get contaminated with everything that you read, because I did read stuff this morning that talked about the cross-contamination, and it uses both. It uses, there's talk about the Ebola, which is what I was trying to find out about, but then E. coli, salmonella, all those kind of things came into it. And I apologize too. I didn't mean to pull them together.
Right. Salmonella is what you were talking about. Is from poultry, chickens, turkeys, eggs, raw eggs.
Mm-hmm.
The salmonella bacteria is in those things, can cause severe food poisoning and all that. E. coli is from the
beef.
I don't know if there's been any incidences with pork or other things, but it's probably possible. That I think we've only heard of it with beef, because this situation that I was talking about with these two kids, the two children that were affected on the turnpike, was E. coli, not Ebola, E. coli.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from turkey sandwiches. That's why the mother was so unprepared. So and there's been no other reports at that particular restaurant of anybody else coming down with it. So they're thinking that the kids may have contracted it elsewhere. The parents keep saying, no, this is the only place that they ate something the same, and yet there's been no other reports from this same restaurant. So they're still trying to find out where the kids actually contracted it, so it's a big mystery right now. But it was the E. coli mm-hmm. bacteria. I was surprised that it didn't hit the media, you know. Mm-hmm. And
Now, on a side note, I will not eat in a rest stop restaurant. I won't. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because all my knowledge in cooking and food preparation, they're not busy enough, Shell. They're not busy enough. And sometimes mm-hmm. they go hours with nobody coming in. So you have no idea how the food is prepped, how it's taken care of, how it's kept safe. And I've been sick at least once from having something to eat in a restaurant that doesn't have enough business. And
well, the rest stops
on the turnpikes are notorious for that.
Yeah, the rest stops that we've been to, the couple that we stopped at, it's standing room only. I mean, half the time we leave without even getting food because the lines are so long. You know, they're not like restaurants. They're not stands. They're counters. You go up, you get your food, and you leave mm-hmm. with it. You know, mm-hmm. If there are some rest stops that like you describe, where there's actually little sit-down restaurants and stuff. And, yeah, and I've seen what you're talking about, where there's, like, you know, 30 tables and there's two people sitting down. So I get that. But, and I still think it's always, again, that's a, since we mentioned it, we might as well run with that. That is a telltale sign. If you go into a restaurant and there's not a lot of people there, be careful what you order, you know, to get a bread product or a muffin is one thing, but if you're going to get something that's meat or eggs or something that has to be cooked, you have to be concerned about how they're storing it back there, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and maybe we should do another show on that, but let's get back to the Ebola because you and I can continue going on this for the rest of the show.
Okay. I found another interesting article that somebody else sent to me, the 5 biggest lies about Ebola being pushed by government and mass media, which I think it's important to touch on. Lie number one, Ebola won't ever come to the United States. This is a lie shattered just this week when the CDC confirmed an Ebola patient in a hospital in Dallas, Texas. Not only has Ebola already spread to America, but a top scientist who used to work for the FDA now says this is only the beginning and that Ebola will spread in America. Number two, Ebola is only spread by way of direct contact with body fluids. This outrageous medical lie may soon cost the lives of millions of innocent people. In truth, Ebola can spread through the air over short distances via aerosols or airborne particles. Ebola can also spread via contaminated surfaces. When an infected patient makes contact, when an infected patient makes contact with a surface such as a doorknob or ATM keypad, there's a good one. They may leave behind the Ebola virus, which survives for many minutes or hours in the open, depending on environmental conditions, temperature, humidity, etc. Another person who touches the same surface may then become instantly infected by simply touching their own eyes, nose, or mouth. The ability of Ebola to spread by way of contaminated surfaces is why victims in Africa have become infected by riding in taxi cabs. This also means any form of public transportation, airplanes, ambulances, subways, may harbor the virus and accelerate the spread of an outbreak. Like all viruses, Ebola is destroyed by sunlight, but it can remain viable for a surprisingly long time in environments where sunlight never reaches, such as underground subways, which are perfect breeding grounds for viral transmission. Now, I gotta, you know, if you go someplace today that is busy all the time, like a subway, like a bus station, like the airport restrooms, if you've in any time in your life been responsible for the cleanliness of something other than your own home, you tend to look at all these kind of things. I know I did. I was an executive housekeeper. I had my own house cleaning service when I was younger. And it doesn't make me cleaner extraordinaire because I'm not, and I don't want to put that out there because that's too big a thing to live up to, and I'm not. But I do want to say that in most cases, a white glove in a bathroom in your favorite restaurant would be, you'd never want to eat there again. Never, ever want to eat there again. There are very few restrooms or kitchens that can take any kind of regular inspection. That's why I go to places like Denny's and things like that, because they have overseers. They have people that make them, toe the line. The health department's too busy to do it. It can be very dangerous out there in the world of... We went into a restaurant yesterday, and just sitting in the booth, I almost didn't have lunch. And I
wow.
thought to myself, yeah, I mean, it was awful. And I had spinach pie and a salad. And I could tell by the way the salad was cut that it was pre-diced vegetables that they get in a package, which for some reason made me feel better than thinking that they were preparing it in the back. And the young man told me the spinach pie was made there, and I would tend to believe that by the way it was wrapped. But it was not, again, and most of us don't think of it, Shell. Most of us have so many other things on our mind, and quick is always easier and better, so we do that. But you're almost better off eating in a McDonald's or a Burger King, even if we know how bad that food is for you when it comes to cleanliness, because they have a lot of rules that they have to follow. And in the McDonald's the other day, I was starving, and I stopped at the McDonald's at Walmart and asked for a pretzel. And I watched the girl, because there was hardly anybody there, and gloves the whole time she handled anything. When it came out of the toaster, she picked it up with gloves and a tissue wrapped around it. And I thought to myself, you're almost safer here than a lot of the other restaurants that we all go to. Anyway, I don't want to scare everybody about stuff like that, but it is stuff you need to think about, especially with this kind of bugs, running around. And we've talked about the MRSA in the hospitals. We've talked about all these things. It's scary out there, and you do have to protect yourself. If you don't have any of the hand wash purifiers, I know they're not good for you. I use them so much that I have to put coconut oil on my hands all the time because my hands get so dried out from using it because it's got so much alcohol in it. But I have one everywhere. I have one in the kitchen. I have one in the bathroom. I have one in my car. I have one, a little tiny one in my purse. And I'm not even paranoid about that stuff. But I do know the importance of keeping your hands clean. So lie number three is, let me see, did I pass this one? Yeah. Lie number three, don't worry, health authorities have everything under control. Now, that's kind of laughable because we know that's not true. The overarching lie about Ebola is that it's being repeated by the U.S. government is, don't worry, we have it under control. In truth, Ebola is completely out of control, which is precisely why its sudden appearance in Dallas hospital surprised nearly everyone. The sobering fact of the matter is that despite all the money being spent on Homeland Security, that's another story today, right? DHS has no way to stop Ebola from walking right into the USA, including on foot from our wide-open southern border. The U.S. government has everything under control. Then why did the government just purchase 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits? Why did Obama just recently sign an executive order authorizing the forced government quarantine of anyone showing symptoms of an infectious disease? While the public can be easily lied to and told everything is under control behind closed doors at the highest levels of government, everyone knows this pandemic could rapidly become a global killer that no one can stop. Now, because I read that on the air and I debated reading it on the air, I want everybody to hear that with a grain of salt. Because, again, this is online. This is on natural news website. This is somebody's point of view. I didn't hear anything there that gave me any reason to believe that that is completely true. I didn't hear anything there that told me it wasn't true either. But that's my point. So take it with a grain of salt and be warned that this is an issue that you need to pay attention to. Lie number four is the only defense against Ebola is a vaccine or a pharmaceutical drug. I'm not going to read all this because this is really big, but I am going to say one of the highlighted sections. If we really want to stop the spread of this viral pandemic right now, both government and the media should be urging citizens to boost their immune defenses by consuming more nutritious foods, herbal spices, superfoods, and antiviral plants, which include peppermint, basil, rosemary, cinnamon, and oregano, just to name a few. Now, Shelley and I are big on this, and we've seen the worth of having an amazing immune system time and time and time again. Even when there's no immune system left and somebody's body is raging with something else, we've seen the worth of that. So please, of all the things you can do, that's one of the most important things. One of the most, and keeping your hands clean and where you prepare your foods clean. And, Shel, do you remember the kit that we designed at Epocrates so that people could fly on airplanes when their health was, under duress and they were going to fly someplace? Do you remember all the stuff that we put in that package from the store?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and the whole thing is, I'm glad that they said that one of the things that isn't necessarily true is about a drug or a vaccine, because that's exactly how I feel. Since I changed my lifestyle back in 1998, I have been very, very ill several times, and I don't take, I don't take prescription drugs, I don't take antibiotics, I don't take any kind of drugs, and I have been able to, without any kind of pharmaceutical intervention, recover from some pretty serious outbreaks. I mean, I had, I can't take antibiotics, and I had double pneumonia with bronchitis. I had 103 fever for 4 days, and I just wasn't getting any better. I don't remember how I contracted it, but I remember that this is in the very early stages. This is before I had recovered totally. I had just moved to Florida, and I just got really, really sick. And my naturopath put me on a protocol of golden seal root and quercetin and a couple of the supplements and one or two pellets. The whole protocol came to, I think, like $50. And within 48 hours, I was almost completely recovered. I was weak for a few days from having such a high fever. But, I was completely over something that severe in under 3 days. On this nutritional protocol, without any antibiotics, without any pharmaceuticals, and then I had been attacked by one of our rescue animals years later. Actually, I shouldn't word it that way. I was bitten by one of our rescue dogs years later. They were arguing with each other. He was not trying to attack me. He was a good dog. I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And had a severe animal bite where the tooth went completely through my hand. And because I'm so programmed now not to take pharmaceuticals because of my own personal experiences and my own personal passion with this, I didn't go to the hospital. I didn't go to a medical doctor. I got another protocol from my naturopath. And here I have a gaping wound in my hand, and healed it completely with all naturopathic remedies, some topical, some internal. Didn't have one day of infection. Now, you think an animal bite, you know, everybody says, well, you have to take antibiotics for an animal bite. I didn't, and I did not have one day of infection. My hand healed completely within 6 weeks. It turned into a balloon. It just swelled up enormous. It was like twice its normal size, but it healed, and it never became infected. I never got a fever. I never had internal issues with it. So the strength of the immune system is what protects us. So I love that whether some of the other things that were said in there were accurate or not, that the last thing that was said there is very, very true. You don't need to get scared when you hear about epidemics. You don't need to get scared when you hear about pandemics. What you need to do is to do everything you can to create a toxic free to the best of your ability. Don't go nuts trying to do, you know, but create as much of a toxic free environment as you can. And that means clean up the food you eat. Clean up the cleaners you use. Try to use cleaners that are non-toxic. You can go into Whole Foods and you see all the cleaners. They say they're free of this, free of that. Well, any cleaner that says it's free of something, then you have to be concerned about the cleaners that don't say they're free of that, because it means it's a toxin. That's why there's companies out there making them free of those substances. This is an easy way for people to educate themselves, all right? And think better. Remember, toxic emotions tear down our immune system, reduce our ability to resist things. So, you know, here I had an infectious illness. I had an animal attack bite. I was also attacked by one of our rescue cats a year later, same thing. They weren't trying to attack me. They were going after one of the dogs, and I got in the middle to separate them. And then I had severe cat injuries, and that's even worse than dog. And I did the same protocol. And again, no infection. Everything healed within 6 weeks. So I've experienced this multiple times where I have used my own body's immune system by boosting it through natural methods and completely healed from something where medical authorities would have wanted to give me prescription medication, antibiotics, maybe injections. They even wanted to do surgery on my hand. And if you look at both my hands, you cannot tell how severely they were torn apart. You know, I know where all the scars are because I know where the injuries were, but unless I told you, you would not ever know how badly injured either one of my hands were, and I healed them completely on my own. So the reason I'm telling this story is to reassure people that don't get crazy with this news. It's something to be aware of. It's something you can take precautions to improve on, but the bottom line is, concentrate on improving your surroundings and strengthening your immune system, because by doing that, you become resistant to most things that are out there. And not everybody that gets Ebola, not everybody that gets E. coli, not everybody that gets some of these, you know, dreaded diseases that are out there succumb to them. Some people just get really, 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 really sick for a while, and then they're okay, and they're on the other side of it, all right? And the reason why not everybody succumbs is because some people have integrally stronger immune systems than others. There's no mystery to it. And the reason their immune system would be stronger could be hereditary, could be the way they eat, could be their mind. They just have really, really strong will to live or something like that. So do whatever you can to bolster your immune system, and that is by getting rid of as many toxins in your environment as you can, by the products that you use, clean up your eating, try to eat things that don't have all kinds of chemicals in them, clean up your thinking, and that's it. And I think that's the best advice of all that came out of all of that.
Well, you know, it's like everything else, you know, if you pay attention to how you're taking care of yourself. You know, I always tell most of the young women out there and young men, you know, when you have a baby and all the things you do for a newborn baby, all the safety precautions that you take, all the extra efforts you do to make sure everything is clean, everything is exactly the way you want it to be, because it's their first time outside of your womb where they were totally protected. Every now and then you need to think of yourself like that. Every now and then you need to remember that just because you are a little bit more calloused than a newborn baby, you still are a human being and have the same issues going on. They're just sometimes bigger and badder. So even more reason to take better care of who you are on the inside. Cleanliness, personal hygiene. I am a kind of bonkers on personal hygiene. Showering, washing your hair, brushing your teeth, all of those kind of things. I'm shocked how frequently I see people who don't, even people that are in every sense of the word, normal and functioning and everything. They don't shower every day. They don't do this every day. They don't do that. And I think to myself, how, you know, I wouldn't be able to stand that. I may be a little bit, you know, maybe even paranoid about that kind of cleanliness, but I am. And I always was that way with my kids. So it is about taking care of yourself and keeping you in a safe place. I want to do my number five real quick. Ebola came out of nowhere and was a random fluke of nature. The modern-day version of Ebola that's so aggressively circulating today may actually be a bioengineered virus, according to one scientist who wrote a front-page story in Liberia's largest newspaper. Ebola is a genetically modified organism, a GMO, declared Dr. Cyril Broderick, professor of plant pathology, in a front-page story published in the Liberian Observer. He goes on to explain, Horowitz confirmed the existence of an American military medical industry that conducts biological weapon tests under the guise of administering vaccinations to control diseases and improve the health of black Africans overseas. I don't know who Horowitz is. That must be, I don't see any way for me to tell you who he is. There's no, nothing marking that I can look it up and see who he is, or who that is. Further supporting this genetic engineering research claim, the U.S. government patented Ebola in 2010 and now claims intellectual property ownership over all Ebola variants. That patent number is viewable at this link. Read more about the patenting of Ebola and control over its research in this Natural News article. This means the U.S. government claims all control over Ebola research, too, because any research project involving replication of the virus would violate the government's patent. In fact, the vastly improved transmission ability of the Ebola strain currently circulating compared to previous outbreaks in years past has many people convinced this strain is a weaponized variant which either broke through containment protocols at government labs or was intentionally deployed as a population control weapon. Now, remember what I said this is, lie number five. Okay, so keep that in mind as I'm reading. Several U.S. scientists have openly called for global depopulation using genetically engineered bioweapons such as Ebola. Dr. Eric Pianca of the University of Texas in Austin reportedly advocated the use of Ebola to wipe out 90% of the human population, according to LifeSite News. It appears he may soon get his wish. If the current Ebola explosion continues, the global population may be in serious jeopardy and many millions could die. Those who wish to live through a global pandemic should learn how to get prepared now by listening to the radio chapters of BioDefense. Now, all this stuff is out there for you to read. Normally, I wouldn't have included this last Live 5. I don't want anybody to think that I or Shelley is an advocate of this belief, but I do want you to know that you're going to read it. And I want everybody to be aware of the fact that its truth will have to be held self-evident, I guess, because I don't have an opinion. It's scary to me, sad to me, but I don't have an opinion. But I do want you to know that if you start researching, you're going to see a lot of this kind of talk about it being something that we're doing to ourselves. So,
well, I think it's plausible that this was not a randomly occurring disease. I had read several books about AIDS. That AIDS wasn't randomly occurring, that it was also something that was engineered in the laboratory. And I don't recall anymore, this was like 20 years ago, whether or not it was deliberately leaked or accidentally, but it got out to the public and created this epidemic. Then there was no pulling it back. I don't know if it was done as a social experiment, like what they did with what was it, syphilis, when they infected all those men with it, or if it was an accident. But unfortunately, these things have happened in history. It's not like a conspiracy theory. We have recorded incidents of bioweaponry, where viruses or illnesses have been deployed in areas to make populations sick, to basically attack, you know, to attack people, whether it be by, a private person or a government against the government. I mean, it's something that's happened. That's the day and age we live in right now, is that not all weapons are a bullet and a gun. Some of them are electronic. All right, people can use pulses now to actually make somebody's brain, make somebody pass out. You know, we have weapons now that don't touch our bodies. They're not knives and swords. They're not guns. They're not missiles. You know, we have all this electronic and biohazard now that people can use and hurt masses those way. This is why I say not to get crazy about this. It is the world we live in right now. That's where we are. But if you look through history, at any time in history, there were hazards going on. People, governments at one time used to take people and torture them for no reason. You know, at any time through history, there have been things that we've faced, and as a people, we've come through, and we're going to get through this also. So I do believe there's some validity to that, because I've heard it before. I've heard it in other situations. I heard it with the AIDS virus, and what that means is that some of the people in the arena that know about Ebola are playing with it, and some of the other people in the Ebola arena are trying to come up with legitimate answers. And I think the majority of the people are trying to come up with legitimate answers, but you only need one rogue person saying, you know, I think there's too many people on Earth and I'm going to deploy this thing, you know. There's some TV shows out right now that are based on true incidences that show just that. That, you know, you've got the majority of an organization really trying to help humanity, really trying to make things better, but you only need that one rogue person thinking that they have an axe to grind, or that they have, or that there's too many people on the planet, and there are people that believe that way. That there's too many people on the planet and that the numbers should be lower, and they're going to try to create these pandemics. So the only thing you can do, because you can't control the actions of others, we're not high enough to be privy to whether or not this is true or not true, except that it's possible, and don't worry about it, and just do what you can to improve your personal situation. That's really the only thing you can do. The less you worry about it, the happier your life will be. Because if it is true, there's nothing we can do to stop it. The only thing we can do is prepare ourselves as best we can. Clean up your own act and strengthen your body.
Well, as I said, I want to leave that up to should be everyone's prerogative to believe what they want to believe. I mean, we live in a world of varied beliefs, from what you should look like to what religion you practice, if you do practice or don't practice. Everything is about our choices, and believing in something is a choice. So I don't know. I don't know. Because I am who I am, I tend to go the other way because I don't want to think that of fellow human beings. And Shelley and I kid about this all the time because I know, I mean, my own kids say to me, Mom, you're such a Pollyanna. And I don't think of myself as a Pollyanna. My Shelley tells me I'm not a Pollyanna. But I do have that outlook. I have that tendency to believe better of us than that. However, because I'm 66 years old and I talk every day, not just on the show, but personally, about the terrible things that we do every day and the inability to keep things organized for us in business places, in hospitals, in, you know, everything, I see all the bad parts. I absolutely do. And I see all the wrongdoing. I see all of the lies, very sadly. But when it comes to believing that a group of people, you know, are orchestrating something as horrific as this. If you saw the pictures of what Ebola does, remember the flesh-eating disease that we read about and saw cases of several years ago? Another horrendous disease. You don't hear much about it anymore because I'm assuming because they have it in check. But I do know that there's still cases of it. Or going way, way back to leprosy and leprosy colonies and things like that. It is possible, people, that these things
originate. But think about how virulent leprosy was. I mean, they were actually isolated in leper camps. All right, Mother Teresa and Edmund Bordozeki, two of the people that I've read about, both worked in leper camps, and Mother Teresa even worked in AIDS camps, and they never contracted either one because they had such a healthy lifestyle, they had such healthy minds and attitudes towards what they were doing, and they weren't fearful. They were pictures of Mother Teresa hugging a leper or hugging an AIDS patient, and she never got either. And the same thing with Edmund Bordozeki. He went right into the leper camps. But, you know, like I have his books, you know, he used to write about strengthening the immune system. He had no fear going into these situations because he knew the integrity of his immune system. And it was true, you know. And I've read a couple of his books where he talks about some of the things he did where he went into infectious areas and didn't contract whatever he went there for. He talks about that in his book, My Adventures on Five Continents. And it was fascinating because he tells about like 10 different stories in that book, and it's all about the same thing. But it shows that having a highly integral immune system protects you. Just because you're around a contagious disease doesn't mean you're going to get it, or doesn't mean you're going to succumb to it. If you get it, like I've gotten it a couple of times, you get over it in a couple of days instead of being, you know, ravaged by it.
Well, and I do believe that's certainly the most pertinent step in the most pertinent direction is to get your own self in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
It would be foolish to not recognize that as being one of the most important answers.
Right.
But like I said, it you know, it's scary for some people, and some people get frozen when they think that things are being done with a purpose to hurt them. And then they start feeling like they can't rise above it because there's an opposition that they can't stop. But the truth of the matter is, like Shelley just said, and I have said, and we have both said on many occasions, you belong to you, period. You belong to you. And it's up to you what you do for you. I sound like Dr. Seuss this morning.
but it's the truth. So if you're worried, if you're scared, if you, there are many things that we talked about today that will help keep things in check for you. But the most important thing is your own constitution, your own physical well-being, which is totally up to you. We talked about personal hygiene. We talked about what you put in your body to get the most out of your body. And I'm not pushing any program. I do want to say, however, for those of you who have been keeping tabs on what was going on with my son, Michael, he has done the Institute's program. He's in his third week. He graduates this Friday. And I have seen before in my tenure at the Institute a miraculous transformation, a whole new lease on life, if you will. He is so much better than he's been in so long that I have difficulty not getting emotional when I look at him and talk to him.
Wow.
So, and here again, he has embraced the lifestyle, but he's kept it. You know, he's not gone crazy with it. At night, Valerie makes him like homemade vegetable soup because he still requires some of the comfort and things like that, and he's having a lot of the products that are out there today that Shelley and I have talked about before, veggie burgers that are great. Matter of fact, somebody sent me a veggie burger recipe the other day with sweet potatoes and a few other things. I can't wait to try it. So it is, but it's brought him to a whole, it even repaired the vocal cord that was paralyzed during the surgery. His voice is stronger and more robust than it's been in 10 years.
That is awesome.
Yes. So I'd like to, on the air, invite you, Shelley. A few of us are going to go have lunch at the Institute on Friday and stay for Michael's graduation to support him. And we would love for you to be there. I don't know what's on your agenda Friday afternoon, but I wanted you to know that we're doing that.
All right. All right. I'll see if I can. I have some things that I've already have scheduled, but you and I will talk later, and I'll see if I can make it.
Okay. So that about wraps it up for today. But I want everybody to understand I presented today's program in the light of providing some light for all of you, to give you some of the input that's going on there. Because if you are one of those people who sit in the house and just listen to the news, it gets kind of scary. And if you are already in a not real healthy place, some of the things that we talked about today can provide you a list of things to do for yourself so that you're not just dormant waiting for the hurricane to get here, if you know what I mean. So be wise and take care of yourselves, and do what you can do to keep yourselves in a safe place. And everything that we talked about today is an imperative thing. And it's not just Ebola. It's the MRSA. It's the other new one that I don't quite understand. It sounds like MRSA, but it's something different, and it's all has to do with your respiratory system. And little kids are getting more often than adults. But if you are a person who is, been a smoker all your life and now you're in your 70s and breathing is an issue and you live on oxygen, you need to be careful. You need to be careful when you're out and about or going into restaurants and things like that. Take care of your personal hygiene, wash your hands, all those good things. Sounds silly, but it's important. So everybody, though, go out and have a great day today. We'll recap tomorrow, kind of do the week in review. We'll talk about the nice story that we told on Tuesday, and we'll talk about the lawsuit injury, personal injury, and all that kind of stuff, and then again what we talked about today on tomorrow's show. So everybody go out and have a great, great day. God bless, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, honey. You got
Thanks,
time
Reenie.
To say goodbye to
Thanks. All right. Goodbye, everyone. Have a wonderful day, and we will recap tomorrow.
Bye-bye.